Welcome to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate for the next hour, your local real estate news magazine. I am Mark Schneidman, local realtor since 1988, Coldwell banker, resident since 1977. I'm here with talent on loan from the California Department of Real Estate. As usual, the weekly multiple listing update. That's the fourth segment, tracking median home price sales weekly year to date and the current active inventory, all compared to last year's numbers. I had some numbers printed in the Montecito Journal that came out last week, if you caught that, and a little bit of a real estate column, the Montecito Journal, the second one of August here, I guess. You can call the program, and we might answer Monday mornings when we're live. 564-1290, 564-1290, which spells 564-1290. After the program, go to RadioRealEstate.com, RadioRealEstate.com. You can listen to past programs, get information, and search MLS listings in Santa Barbara or throughout California. Today's program is dedicated in the memory of Jamie Nye, who at age 52 just passed away. I read about it in the paper. I was shocked. I haven't seen him in years. I worked for him when I was working for Savin Corporation. Remember Savin Photocopiers? And right out of college. And he was a technician, and I was a salesman. And me, him, and Harold Whiting. Do you know Harold Whiting?
I don't.
Harold Whiting is a member of the Chase family. He used to live in Hope Ranch, and he got married. He's living in Carpinteria now, perhaps near Jaron. So anyway, shocked. This is the second guy this year, or the last year. Mark Ehrenborg. Did you know him? He was a foundation expert, and he was my age, you know, Jamie, a couple of years older than me at 52. Mark was 50, died family. It's just really, Jamie, we remember you, and this show dedicated to you, and thoughts and prayers go out to your family. Today's guest corrected me when I was talking to him. We're going to talk about some real estate fraud that today's guest, as an FBI agent, investigated, and there's some federal statutes involved in real estate fraud and loan applications and mail fraud, and he has a case of the straw buyer, investment fraud, and then we hopefully have some time. We'll talk about some bank robbers that he bank cases that he worked in the Santa Barbara area. Today's guest, Stanley. Do you go by Stanley or Stan?
Stan.
I had an uncle Stanley.
Me too.
He went by Bob. I swear to God. Actually, I think his name was Stanley Robert Schneidman, and he always went by Bob. But Los, Stan Los, good morning. Welcome to Radio Real Estate.
Good morning, Mark.
You corrected me. I said, so you were a former FBI agent, and you said, no, retired. Now, why were you careful on that distinction?
Well, there are many former people that work for the Bureau but didn't stay long enough to retire.
Might have left under gray circumstances.
Well, gray, or they found something more lucrative. I joined the Bureau by accident in 1967. I sort of spent my career trying to get out, and after 25 years, I managed to retire.
Well, you did a terrible job, didn't you?
I did.
That is kind of noteworthy, actually. I'd like to someday retire. I don't think you retire from selling real estate, though, do you?
I doubt it. You're just like you don't retire from investigating.
Right. So you've kind of turned over a new leaf, looking for other leaves. I don't know what you look for under rocks, and what you will talk about that. It currently owns a Summit Research Group. So went from becoming a G-man. Well, why does a G-man? Where'd that come from?
Government man. That was one of the bad guys back in the 30s. I think it was Barker, and he was getting arrested, and he was cornered by the FBI, and he said, "Don't shoot G-men."
And that was the
that's
origin
from whence it came. Yes.
I like that. I like that. FBI, and there was an article in yesterday's, was it Saturday or Sunday? Yeah, it was Sunday's, August 20th, Los Angeles Times, entitled "FBI Races the Clock to Reinvent Itself in Terms of Its War on Terrorism." And so we're going to talk a little bit about the good old days. So you worked for the FBI 25 years, and part of that 10 years in Santa Barbara?
No, I was here for over 20 years.
Oh, 20 years.
1971 until I retired in 93.
You know, I seem to recall, is it the FBI? Where? I was selling copiers. I remember knocking on doors, going into businesses. And I remember coming to a door and it said the FBI. I was like shocked.
That was probably Glendale Federal Building at the time, State and Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we moved there in 76. We used to be in the post office, and we moved to State and Hitchcock, and then we moved to Anacapa.
I would have expected it to say, you know, like Ajax Dry Cleaning and having like a little facade and a front, you know, and then you guys would be in the back. I didn't expect to see the FBI right there.
No, we had nothing to hide. We were very open about who we were.
So tell us a little bit about how you, you know, you're in Santa Barbara, and we want to talk a little bit about real estate cases that you might have worked in, real estate fraud, I guess you'd call it.
That's exactly right. Real estate fraud takes a number of different faces, if you want to call it that. It could be everything from mortgage fraud, selling worthless land, making misrepresentations regarding the value of land, some development, et cetera, et cetera. So you got a lot of different faces. The Bureau would get into the cases through various federal statutes, mail fraud, bank fraud, and false statement on a loan application.
Boy, I can't tell you how, you know, now how severe would it have to be, and who would flag it to call you?
Well, we would get called very often by the local authorities if they thought that there was something federal. And it would have to be severe. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Los Angeles has certain prosecutorial guidelines as far as minimums. And let's face it, there's a lot of false statements running around out there, as you well know from being in the real estate business. People
right.
will jack up their old financial statements. There's even scams wherein you can rent the assets of someone to put into your bank account so that when somebody checks, you've got something there, and then you turn them back.
Is that some case that you uncovered where someone was doing this?
Yeah, that's another scam.
Because I know in the lenders over the years that I've worked with, and of course it's evolved so much.
Right.
Today, a lot of what we're talking about is almost, you know, with what they call low doc or no doc, standing for documents. It's like you show up with a high credit score and a good down payment. The lender doesn't even need to know you really exist.
It's That's like, exactly you know, right.
It's bizarre how it's evolved. But one of the things I remember is seasoned money. The lender would want to see that you had the money there for at least 3 months.
Right.
Maybe, you know. So how did that work? How did they work around that, or did they hold it that long?
Well, some didn't hold it that long. Some did. You could rent it for 6 months.
Wow.
You know, it's like a big loan, and it just sits there. And like you say, it's seasoned money. The longer you have it, the more credible it seems to the lender.
Been in the real estate business for, you got to go somewhere? You're looking
nope.
at your watch.
I'm not
You're
looking.
Bored already, Stan?
I'm looking at my notes.
talking with Stan Lose, like most, who is a retired FBI agent, currently a full-time private investigator, and started his own company, a security company. It seems like people do fudge a little bit here and there. I've been selling real estate since 1988. I've never heard of any lender coming back. You know, someone applies for the mortgage, they get the mortgage, they make their payments. What triggers? Is someone not making their payments? What triggers this kind of investigation?
That's exactly right. Is someone who defaults on the loan. That would trigger the investigation. Most of the time, if it's a small amount, less than $100,000, there's no federal prosecution. But if it's significant and if there are substantial false statements, then the U.S. Attorney's Office might prosecute. I've seen cases like that. As a matter of fact, we were talking the other day about the straw buyers.
Okay, why don't we tell us about that?
The straw buyers is sort of, it's identity theft in reverse. It's identity rental. We had a real estate person from Ventura County. He was renting identities, i.e. paying people for their names and their credit histories. And he would use those names and credit histories on loan applications. And these people would He would use their identities to buy a piece of property and then rent it out. Well, that was fine as long as the property values were going up or as long as he could keep it rented. And in some cases, he couldn't rent it, property values dipped, and suddenly he was defaulting. Or all these people who loaned him their identities were defaulting. And in some cases, as a matter of fact, I think of one person who loaned his identity out 9 different times.
Wow.
He, as well as the realtor, went to prison.
So obviously, they had to do with their knowledge. He wasn't stealing.
He was renting.
He was renting.
Totally with their knowledge. So it's sort of the reverse of stealing someone's identity.
Well, that's pretty interesting, actually. I think I've read a couple of cases about that. There's so many different ways to skin a cat, I guess, and that seems to be a very safe one. If I was going to do it, you're doing it with someone's knowledge, and as long as you can make the payments and you don't get, you'd never get caught.
That's exactly right, as long as you can make the payments. But if something topples the house of cards, you're in trouble.
So, I mean, I've been in situations over the years where, things are could be a little loose, where someone's, you're filling this out and that out, and they don't seem to feel like the FBI is going to step in and audit them, because no one's really trying to scam anyone, but they're just sometimes trying to make a round peg fit in a square hole or something.
No, I know what you're saying. And
it's not.
The Bureau never would peruse loan applications or anything like that. We would get called in subsequent to the default. And so there was a little we could do except continue on with the investigation.
Speaking of continuing on, this is Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. We're going to take a break and come back and continue on with a retired FBI agent, Stan Loess, who's married to Connie Loess. You might know her from the Santa Barbara Yacht Club, but it was the Navy League I was thinking of. She was heavily involved and ran that for quite a number of years and still involved. And we'll come back and continue talking some real estate fraud and maybe some FBI cases here in Santa Barbara. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. You can call us at 564-1290, 564-1290.